Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And as your spiritual fitness doctor, I'm here to coach you up, to build you up and your spiritual fitness by helping you know Scripture better, applying it to real-life examples, to newsworthy events, to stories, and then that'll make you spiritually stronger to withstand any of the struggles in your life, any crises in your life, whether that be in your health or your finances, your job, emotions, you know, relationships, or moral issues. So welcome. Yeah, today is a big night, and I don't know if you're a sports fan at all, but even if you're not, you might still want to tune in because I'm going to connect and link up the NFL draft, which is happening tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time, to this coming Sunday, which is about Good Shepherd Sunday. And some of you may wonder, what does football have anything to do with Good Shepherd Sunday? And we all know, you know, the Good Shepherd is Jesus Christ. And we love that Psalm 23 that's so famous and so dear to many of us, that where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul." So how in the world can that be related to the NFL draft? Well, it's because the people who are chosen to be shepherds are none other than people who are unsung heroes, the ones you would not suspect to be who help in God's plans. And in the same way, in the NFL draft, you have people who are chosen first by the different teams who they think are the best. But as we know, as history has shown, there are some jewels there with different people when they're chosen much later, and actually they beat everybody's expectation about who they are. So it's kind of like this. Have you ever reached back into your memory when you were in grade school, right? Whether you played kickball or you played basketball for recess or, you know, lunch or gym, and, you know, they divide up, they'd have a captain two captains, and they start choosing people like, "Oh, I choose that guy first, and I choose this other person." And it gets to the point where, like, where were you called? Do you recall, like, were you the one that was chosen first because, like, you were the tallest or the fastest or the smartest? Or were you the one, like me, like, chosen later on, if not in the middle, towards the end? And you kind of feel, like, left out. Were you left out because of whatever characteristics that you looked like, the color of your skin, the strength of how tall or small you were, how fast or slow or skinny or fat, whatever. Again, smart or not so, smart. How were you chosen? And so the key thing here is what I want to emphasize is being an unsung hero. And I'm going to show you that some of these shepherds that we've had in the Old Testament would surprise you. Like, why in the world were they chosen, yet they were people that God wanted because they had something about them that regular humans could not see from the get-go. And so, you know, as you're preparing tonight, whether you're at home, just preparing for dinner, getting things ready around the house, or if you're driving, or if you're outside taking a walk and listening, or you're on your bike or something, and are you just having your streaming one way or another? Well, just thank you for choosing to be tuned in and listening to me here, because I'm trying to bring in, you know, some new perspective, because you guys have different choices for sure. You can turn on the TV or the radio or, you know, go on Instagram or TikTok and all these other things, but you choose to be here. So if you would like to call in and let us know you're listening, just even say hello, please call in. Michael's manning the phones here. The number is 856-962-8178. Again, it's 856-962-8178. Whether you want to call and just say hello or ask a question or make a comment, or if you have a prayer request, please feel free to call and don't be shy. All right, you know, what I want to tie in with a few unsung heroes about different employees. Like, have you ever felt like in your job that when you work, that you do things not for show, but you do things because they're right and good and just? And you may feel that you don't get rewarded, but you're okay with that because, you know, the Lord God is the one who sees you in the secret of your room when you're praying, or when you're alone, let's say in your car or in your bedroom, or that you can be in a crowded room with a lot of people, but you feel alone, like you haven't been recognized. But God recognizes you. He knows your heart. He knows you're a good person. You're seeking to do God's will. You may have burdens on your heart, on your mind, and bugging your emotions, but there's things that God has plans for you and wants to reach out with a good message for your heart and soul today. And so let me talk about somebody here. Well, you know, like, some people are, as they prepare for whatever, even if you're not going to watch the NFL draft, you know, I'm broadcasting out in Westchester, and being in the suburb of Philadelphia and Philadelphia proper, you know, we are a big sports town, as many, many people here know, right? And so being a Philadelphia Eagles fan, we're all excited to see, well, who are we going to get? And as we prepare things, you know, you might want to be ordering, like, pizza for, or, you know, go to the fast food or just making something at home. But I came across a story that I saw on the Today Show, written out by a guy named Joseph Lemoore. So I don't know if he saw this, but it's a really cool, interesting story. And it's about a Chick-fil-A employee. And this his name is Jaden Cintron. And he looks like a young African-American man, if I'm not mistaken here. But he is back on Good Friday, of all days. Jaden, you know, he's a worker at Chick-fil-A in North Carolina, and the city is called Kinston. He became one of these unsung heroes to a customer who had misplaced two envelopes totaling almost $10,000 in cash. And so that's right. You heard right. It's almost $10,000. So Jaden, the Chick-fil-A worker, that morning he went to the restroom and he saw on the floor next to a toilet the two envelopes of cash. And he looked at it and said, no, this isn't happening. Something's wrong. You know, because you may wonder, like, is someone playing a trick, or, you know, is there a candid camera or whatever, something that you're getting punked or whatever. This can't be true. But one of the white envelopes said First Citizens Bank. And then that had $5,000 in there. And the other one was labeled Truist Bank, and that was $4,333. And so, you know, rather than putting the money in his pocket, he picked it up. And then what did he do? He actually brought it to the human resources. And the owner of that Chick-fil-A in New North Carolina, he was actually grateful to Cintron, you know, for Jaden, for bringing that in. And he said, acts like this. This is the owner, operator of Chick-fil-A. His name is John McFall. He said, acts like this reflect the values of our restaurants that aim to uphold each day. And we're proud to see that that lived out here at the Chick-fil-A in Kinston. And so he spoke to people from the today.com. And the when the money was returned to the owner had offered the Chick-fil-A worker, Jaden, $500 for turning it in. But believe it or not, Jaden actually declined receiving that money. He says, I don't want anything out of it. He was offered the $500 several times. And he had said, well, I was in the right place at the right time. But more than that, my faith teaches me to do what is right and to care for others. Now, he wasn't trying to, like, pat himself on the shoulder, like virtue signaling, and say, like, look how good I am. I mean, after all, it was Good Friday, right? And in his mind, he's thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, my faith teaches me to do what is right and to care for others. So he wants to do what's right in God's eyes. And he also wishes to love God and also to love neighbor. And what happened, he said, knowing, this is again Jaden, the Chick-fil-A worker, he said, knowing how devastating it would be to lose something like that, I mean, that was almost $10,000, he said, I just wanted to make sure it got back to its owner. I'm grateful I could help, and I'm humbled by the response, he said. Well, you know, after a few more offerings and thankfulness, he did accept the $500. Well, good for Jaden that he got that. But initially, again, he wasn't in it for that, and so he did get rewarded for the $500. And so, you know, many of us go by the secular society or the world's quotes, such as finders keepers, like losers weepers. Now, I don't know where that came from, but, you know, I don't think that's in scripture. But what came to his mind on that Good Friday, you know, this past April 3rd, was about his faith. Like he said, he said that he didn't want anything out of it, and he just said he knew that's the right place at the right time, and that he thought about how the other person would be devastated to lose something like that. And so he just wanted to make sure that person got it back. And so instead of relying from a worldly sense, well, tough luck, finders keepers, it's mine, you know. Well, no, he relied on his faith. He relied on his inner common sense about how it would feel if that was him. And then he just wanted to do what's right. So that's one of the examples of, you know, an unsung hero. Yes, he got $500 after all that, but that's not what he was doing it for. That wasn't the intention. And then at the same time, he didn't really look for notoriety. He was just making sure the money went to the right person, and he was just serving that purpose. Yeah, so anyway, so if you're going out and you're listening, whether you're going to some fast food place, you know, McDonald's or BK or what have you, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, all any of those stuff, or even Chick-fil-A here, you know, I don't know, is Chick-fil-A still have Sundays off? I mean, that they don't serve people on Sundays? I thought back in the day they did. I don't know if they do that anymore, but I thought it was related to scripture in that try to keep the holy day, the Sabbath, the holy day. So I don't know about that. But we all know the Sabbath is Saturday, right, for the Jews. But we, as Catholic Christians, we celebrate the Lord's Day because the Lord, he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And so that would be greater than the first creation. The first creation meaning when he created heaven and earth and everything that exists and rested on the seventh day, which would be Saturday. That was the first creation. But Jesus made a new creation by defeating death, right? And then when he rose from the dead and defeated death, paid for our sins, and opened up the gates of heaven, which is greater, actually, than the first creation. So, all right, let me go to the other story here where, let's say, some of you, might be ordering out, right, whether you're ordering out pizza or, Chinese food and you're having, DoorDash come to you. And so I don't know, have you heard about this story here? Again, another unsung hero and how I'm trying to link this up with this coming Sunday's reading or theme called the Good Shepherd Sunday. And I'm going to link that up with the current event of the NFL draft, which is happening at 8 o'clock this evening today, being April 23rd. All right, so here's a story again also from today from the same author, Joseph Lemoore, where, he just wrote this on April 10th. And it's about how there's a Dan the Man, the pizza man, that he actually went out of his way to go buy Diet Coke for a customer who ordered Domino's pizza, but they didn't have any more Diet Coke. And he decided, Dan the Man, the pizza man, right, decided to buy Diet Coke on his own, even though the store, Domino's, ran out themselves, okay? And so you may think, so what? What's so great about that? Well, if you didn't hear the whole story, let me get through with it, go through with it more. And so what happens is Brian Wilson was the guy, the homeowner, that ordered pizza and Diet Coke. And that when he first met Dan the Man, Dan Simpson's his name, he's the Domino pizza delivery guy, who came to his porch delivering the pizza. This was happening in Boise, Idaho. He didn't know the impact that he would have on Dan the pizza man. And Dan's like 68 years old. And, he has a full-time job, and he does this after his day job. But it turns out that he's going to retire in about 28, 26 days. Anyway, none of this was told to the homeowner when Dan was giving the pizza to Brian. Anyway, so Dan the man was working that busy Friday. It was the night shift, and it was March 27th when that order for, pan pizza and, with double pepperoni and a 2-liter Diet Coke, but there wasn't any Diet Coke left, and I guess he didn't know that when it was ordered. He just gets the order, and he's supposed to deliver it. Anyway, when he came to the house of Brian Wilson, there was a Ring camera there, and the wife of Brian, Brian Wilson, put the act of kindness on TikTok. The act of kindness being that Dan the pizza man went out and bought Diet Coke on his own dime, and gave it to Brian Wilson. And so when the wife saw this on the Ring camera, she put it on TikTok, she got an amazing response. And why she put it on TikTok is this. as her husband was talking to Dan, the pizza man, Dan was saying, "We were out of Diet Coke. I stopped at the store." And that's what he said on the that was captured on the Ring camera. And then Brian, the homeowner, he said, "Oh," he said, "you didn't have to do that, did you really?" And Dan said, "Well, that's all right." And then Brian offered, you know, to give him a $6.60 tip, but Dan refused and said, "That's a good tip." And they just shook hands. And then as they were shaking hands, Dan, the pizza man, he said, "You know, I've worked here for 14 years and I'm retiring in 26 days. And that was pretty much it. And so when the wife saw this interchange on her Ring door camera, she put that on in TikTok, and people started making comments. One was that somebody put in large or in capital letters, "He stopped by the store? Oh my goodness." You know, like, and another one said, "That means he paid for the soda himself." And so it seems like, you know, like a little thing, right? But however, let's bring this, connect this to scripture. Isn't it when Jesus said that whenever you give drink to the thirsty, right, food to the hungry, that you're doing that for him? We may not realize that, right? But again, it's really true. And so these are just some of the, what we call the works of mercy, right? So feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, comforting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, and burying the dead. That's what you could do called corporal works of mercy, meaning to the body, the corpus, right? I'm not talking about like the rank of a of somebody in the military, you know, that they're a private, first class, or lance corporal, or corporal. I'm talking corporal meaning body. So what work of mercy can you do to the body? And giving food and drink is one of them. And Jesus said, whenever you do this to the least of my brother, that you do unto me. And so, yeah, the delivery man, Dan, was doing something that was scriptural. Now, I don't know if, because he didn't say anything that prompted him to do that, that was backed from his faith. I don't know that. But isn't it one's actions can speak louder than words? And so that's what happened. And so what happened was that Brian, when he was recalling the video, you know, what he was thinking right at that time, he said that Dan doesn't really know our story. In other words, that they were videotaping him. And then at the same time, that the backstory for Dan, the pizza man, was that he and his wife are, well, his wife is blind, legally blind, and she's not able to drive at all. And he is visually impaired. And here it is, it's like in the evening already, you can see in the picture that the sun is setting. And so he really can't drive at night, so he's got to, you know, looks like it's sunset or something like that. But anyway, that they're both going, well, his wife is blind and he's going blind. And so he was going to quit his job, but retire and then just do this because he likes doing this. Anyway, somebody suggested, or Brian thought, well, I'm just going to give him like $50 tip instead of that $6.60. And the people on TikTok started commenting, you know what, why don't you just go start a GoFundMe as a send-off for, you know, Dan the pizza man for his retirement. And then they did so, and on the first day, a few thousand dollars was put in for Dan the pizza man's retirement and GoFundMe. And by the time it was all said and done, there was $152,000. You heard right, $152,000, over $152,000. And so they, you know, it was just amazing for just this little effort of whatever it cost to buy a 2-liter. This was the payoff. As far as, again, he wasn't looking to be quote unquote paid off, right? And I don't think he was just sharing this as a way of like, hey, can you tip me more? I actually remember he thought that was good, a good tip, the $6.60. So anyway, he did say, I believe the good Lord is blessing me. So he did give thanks to the Lord just before his retirement. And so he did reflect back and thank the Lord. But in the beginning, he didn't say that's why he did it, but he did thank the Lord, knowing that any good thing that comes to us really comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? That we really shouldn't claim any good that happened to us as if we did it. Why? It's because by grace that God gave us faith. And the only reason why we can do good is because God gave us grace through our faith. And whereas if we do anything evil, it really is, we really have to accept the consequence or the accountability that we did it. Now, we might have gotten influenced, as St. John would say, either from the world, the devil, or the flesh, but we are the ones who ultimately decided from our own free will to do, to be tempted and to commit sin that was either directly from the devil or his minions, or from the world, meaning the culture, you know, and peer pressure, or ourselves. So anyway, Domino's said this, shows a genuine kindness and commitment that, you know, Dan brought to his role. And so Dan was, to go on, he worked for the State Department in Idaho in the agriculture, and he was an analyst for their seeds. And so he has this dream of those seeing the redwood forests. You know, I used to live back in California. I remember seeing those redwood forests and just how huge they are, and just magnificent, just towering, and just reaching up to the heavens there, giving God glory for the, how it was made, how this forest was made. So he was very thankful for that, but he still was going to keep working at Domino's, even though he was going to retire from that steak job. So anyway, so whether you guys are going to order Domino's tonight or get something for DoorDash or, you know, order out like Chinese food or what have you, or go out to, Chick-fil-A or what, or name your fast food, or just have the home good cooking, a home cooked meal, that's even better, right? So just some fun stuff, some good news to share there here. So now we're at the bottom of the hour already, and so I haven't gotten a call yet, and so let me give you the number again in case you all are interested into sharing your thoughts on the couple of stories here about these unsung heroes that actually got rewarded, and which was a great deal. Anyway, the number here is 856-962-8178. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back. Hopefully we'll have a call or two. Okay, let's take a break now. This is Dr. Anton.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry. to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And again, we are on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And if you're interested in calling and just letting us know what you thought about the couple of stories there, or if you have any comments or questions, prayer requests, please call in. The number is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. So today's theme is Unsung Heroes, and again, how it relates to this coming readings about Good Shepherd Sunday, about the Good Shepherd. And of course, that's Jesus, but also just wanted to highlight other, like who in Scripture was good shepherds. Well, believe it or not, there's, starting from Genesis, do you remember the children of Adam and Eve, right? We know Cain and Abel, and then after that, then they had Seth. But do you remember Abel actually was the first shepherd ever mentioned? And he offered a pleasing sacrifice from his own flock to God, and God was so pleased. But his older brother, Cain, did not offer a pleasing sacrifice from, you know, the crops that he had as being a farmer, right? And so the jealousy then occurred there that Cain slew Abel, and this first shepherd was killed, right? And so that's how the first murder occurred there, brother against brother. If we go forward into the Genesis, we have Abraham. He was actually a nomad, and he had a shepherd life. He had a large herd. So Abraham was a shepherd. And so he was a good shepherd, of course, right? And then the other patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, who became Israel, renamed Israel, and then Rachel, they were all shepherds. And you remember Jacob, when he met Rachel, right? They were at the well, and he protected the Rachel and the shepherds, the sheep, and he ended up working for Laban so he could marry Rachel. But again, here we have the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were shepherds, good shepherds. And we even have a woman, holy woman there is Rachel, being a shepherd. And then the other shepherd is Joseph. As we go further in Genesis, Joseph and his brothers, they tended their father's flock. And remember, Joseph was sold into slavery and was taken down into Egypt, which then leads us to the next book in the Torah, the Exodus. We know that Moses, when he had killed somebody, he fled into the desert, or he fled to Midian, and there he met his would-be wife, right, Sephora, and they shepherd flocks for the father-in-law, Jethro, right? This is before he was called through the burning bush when God revealed himself in the through the burning bush. And then, of course, we have David, right? We know that story, and I wanted to go into that a little bit deeper here and then relate that to the NFL draft. And this is where, if any of the women are listening, you can relate this to whether you are not interested or not. Maybe you can relate to your husband who's watching, and you can somehow bring the conversation in to Scripture, and so he could see the connection and the relevance of somebody like David here, where, remember, he was the youngest son who protected sheep from lions and bears, and yet he was the one that was anointed and a king. And that God said that, I took you from the sheepfold to be ruler over my people. And so I'll get into that. And the last shepherd I wanted to mention was an Amos. I'm not talking about famous Amos or the cookie, but he's a prophet who was called from being a shepherd to being a prophet. And so it comes from all sorts of, backgrounds. In fact, let's go deeper now into David, and where I wanted to share that story and relate it to the NFL draft, and let's see if you can follow me here as far as that's happening. So in Scripture, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, these aren't the readings right now that going for this Sunday, but I'm using this as a foundation for Good Shepherd Sunday, because, again, like I led off with Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, and traditionally that's from King David, or from David. And so, in Samuel, which is 16, so what happens is that Samuel was told by God to go to Bethlehem, to go to Jesse, because one of his sons will be anointed as king. And so this is where when Samuel goes there, he says to Jesse, and he tells he and the sons to purify themselves, because he's inviting them to the sacrifice. All right, and so what happens, he sees the oldest son there, and his name is Eliab, and he thought, by looking at Eliab, because he looks like that, he looks like, he was big and strong, athletic, he was a warrior, and so he said to himself, surely the anointed is here. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. God does not see as a mortal who sees the appearance. The Lord looks into the heart. And then what happened was, then Jesse called Abinadab and presented him before Samuel, the second born, I guess, or the second son that was brought to Samuel, and then the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord has not chosen him. And then next, Jesse presented Shama. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Shama, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And so then Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Jesse replied, there is still the youngest, but he is tending the sheep. And then Samuel said to Jesse, send for him. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives here. So Jesse had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth, and with beautiful eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, there, anoint him, for this is the one. So what does Samuel do? With the horn of oil in his hand, he anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. And so this is how I'm going to connect this to the NFL draft, where we know that in football, or if you're not familiar with football, you know, there's 32 teams, and each one gets to pick in what they call round one, the best college football players, and the first one to pick is usually the worst team from last year. And so they do all these pre-draft testing, and you know, they'll see how, you know, their record is as a team, and if they're the quarterback, that they see how many games they won, and so for all the different statistics, they'll test how fast they run. You know, that's the most famous part of the draft process. They'll look at the 40-yard dash, and they'll see how far they can, you know, vertically leap, or they can do a broad jump, and then how well they throw or how far they can throw, and if they're a receiver, you know, how much they can catch and so forth. And so based on a score, they get to be chosen higher in the draft. And as you're chosen first pick, second pick, or third pick, in the first round, you get more money. So the guy who's chosen as the number one draft pick gets the most projected money, and it goes down the line. I don't know the schedule of money, but it's so absurd nowadays. I mean, and then they do this seven different times. So there's seven rounds. Right, so the tonight I think they're just going to do the first round and second, and then tomorrow they're probably going to do the third and the fourth round, and then Saturday I think they're going to do the remaining, the fifth, sixth, and seventh. I could be wrong, but to my memory, that's what it is. So in essence, there could be a total of 262 people chosen, and so when you're chosen last, you know, they have a special name for that, and it's called Mr. Irrelevant. And I'm bringing that up because a few years ago, was it 2022, there was a guy, his name is Brock Purdy, and he was picked 262, and he was called Mr. Irrelevant, and he was a quarterback. And so usually that's just a title given to the person picked last. But in this case, it was a really Cinderella story for him, where he did get to actually move up from being the third quarterback for the 49ers to actually starting because of all the injuries. And he got to the point where some of us know that he went and brought the 49ers all, you know, to the NFC Championship, and they lost to us as Eagles, so which is a great thing, but... Anyway, that's just one thought there, where the, you know, when people look at somebody like a Brock Purdy, even though I'm not a 49er fan anymore, I mean, I was raised in San Francisco during the time of the glory days for the 49ers with Joe Montana and Steve Young and so forth, Jerry Rice and, you know, Terrell Owens and Ricky Waters and all that. But here's Brock Purdy, you know, chosen last. But the most notable, of course, is Tom Brady, right? You know, he's a Catholic. He's like the greatest quarterback of all time. Some would say, no, it's Joe Montana. But, you know, because look at all the Super Bowls Tom Brady won. But he was chosen 199th. And so this is my point where, you know, go looking at the how the shepherd, or, you know, how David was chosen over his seven older brothers, who were stronger, you know, warriors. They were taller. They were bigger. And yet David was just a mere shepherd boy, and he was the one that was anointed, right? So not that Tom Brady or these guys are anointed, but they were picked, and they turned out to be a great find that others did not see from the get-go. Again, Tom Brady was chosen the 199th pick. For us Philadelphia fans, we might remember Jason Kelsey in the sense that he was chosen to be number 191. He was chosen in the sixth round. I think one of the best stories, and I there's also a movie about him, I think it's American Quarterback, I forget the exact name, but it was about Kurt Warner, and he was not even drafted. So he didn't even go through the seven rounds and go through to be one of the 262 picks, but he was an undrafted free agent that was originally picked to be on the Green Bay Packers when, you know, Brett Favre was quarterback there, and he blew his chance there, but the Rams picked him up, and he did wonders there by coming in after the starting quarterback, I think it was Trent Green, got hurt. And so he had to take over from the very beginning of the season, and he took him to the Super Bowl, and it was a great story, even though I hated that Kurt Warner, on his way to the Super Bowl, beat our Philadelphia Eagles. But I still have to give props to Kurt Warner because of him being a good Christian man and really thanking God and giving God the glory. And here's a guy who wasn't even picked the normal way and had to fight as a free agent that was not even drafted. So where does that put us, right? Because many times we may be looked passed over. We may be looked over where, like I said, for us, how do you remember, you know, you may have some sort of memory, bad memory about being a kid that you weren't chosen, let's say, in a race because you weren't the fastest. Or you weren't chosen to play basketball because you weren't the tallest. You see what I mean? And then that might have stuck with you to the point where you feel unconfident. But this is where the Lord still can heal any of those memories or those feelings of being inferior, where this is why I'm trying to be your spiritual fitness coach, your spiritual fitness doctor, to help you to see that when these great stories happen, they can still happen to us, but we don't actually have to have such great glory, like to be in the public eye or to get all this money and fame and fortune, right? And so the part that I also wanted to share was, you know, when Christ, he's the good shepherd, he's the one that was anointed, right? And to be anointed, that the Hebrew name is Messiah, right, or Mashiach. Versus if it's in Greek, it's Christos, where we get the word Christ. So in the sense that when David was anointed, he was the Mashiach, he was the anointed. And the view from the Jews then, because they had their kings finally, right? They had Saul, David, and Solomon, and then other kings after that. But that was their glory date. Israel always wanted that, or looked, or wanted that political kingship, that military might, having their own home there, that God gave them that land, right? And so they were looking for that as the upcoming Messiah. And they actually knew, and I'm talking now fast forwarding to Jesus's time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the chief priests, they actually knew that the Messiah was to be a suffering servant, meaning not a military king, not a political figure, that he was God's son, and that he would suffer and die and be raised again before his body would be corrupted on the first day. In fact, if you're interested in finding, well, where's that, Dr. Anton? Where's that in Scripture Well, part of it, you'll see that Jesus upbraids the Jews for not believing, even though it's in Scripture. Now, there is a book that I highly recommend. Now, I don't get any, you know, benefit monetarily from mentioning this book, but this author is fantastic. His name is Gary Machuda, M-I-C-H-U-T-A, Gary Machuda, M-I-C-H-U-T-A, and the name of his book is called Messiah, Old Testament Prophecies Fulfilled in Christ. And this actually, his Gary Machuda's book actually shows 63 messianic texts. 63. So it's all over the Old Testament. If you really see it and then understand it, that there, it was actually very, I don't know if it's plain, but very clear that the Messiah would not be a political king that's going to rule military-wise, that he would be like a new Adam, a new David, a new Moses, a new David, a new Joshua, and renewing everything, a new Solomon, and freeing us from our sins, paying for it, and liberating us so we could go to the promised land, which is heaven itself. And there he would reign, and he would rule from his heavenly kingdom. And that's why we pray the Our Father prayer. And part of the reason why I named this program Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are delivered through the Our Father prayer, right? And so Aaron, the brother of Moses, actually in Exodus 30:30, Aaron was anointed, and his sons were anointed. They were consecrated. Aaron and his sons were anointed and consecrated as priests, but so they were messiahs in that sense. So you didn't have to be a king to be anointed, right? And you didn't have to be a prophet. Well, here these are priests. Also, you can have somebody that's bad become anointed. This is an example of Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, where it says, after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut down, and no one to help him. And the people of a leader who will come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And it goes on that there will be desolation. So they were talking about a high priest. The one who was anointed was the high priest, Onias the Third, and he was murdered in the year 171 BC. And he was put in exile and killed. And the leader that they were talking about was Antiochus the Fourth. And so these are the different types of messiahs that were not the true Messiah, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, right, who fulfilled the 63 messianic texts as mentioned there. Gary Machuda helped bring that out. And so I want to make sure that you all know that the good shepherd was fulfilled to the highest degree, would be Jesus Christ. As good as David was, we have Jesus himself, God's son, as our good shepherd, who became our king. And he said that, you know, that he is, he told us when he came here that he said, the time of fulfillment is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what the original gospel that Jesus proclaimed at the start of his ministry. He was proclaiming the gospel that the kingdom is here, and that kingdom was a different kingdom, and that people should repent because of, you know, their sins, but also that they have the wrong idea of the type of kingdom. The kingdom that he was going to bring was the heavenly kingdom, where he's reigning in our hearts, mind, body, and soul, and the promised land is our heavenly land of heaven. That's where he's trying to bring us and to liberate us from sin. So as far as the reading goes, you only have like a minute or two, but just when you go to church this weekend and Mass, just know that when God calls, I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, that Peter does say that we should repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins. And then he goes on and says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter actually echoes what Jesus was first saying when he was proclaiming the gospel, the good news. Many people get this wrong. They get part of it wrong by thinking the gospel is about Jesus dying for our sins, which is true. He's paying for it, freeing, defeating death, and rising from the dead, and opening up the gates of heaven. But that happened 3 years after. So the first words that he said was, you know, repent and believe in the gospel, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. But what was that? What was the gospel that he was preaching? Because, again, he didn't die. He didn't have his passion, death, and resurrection until 3 years later. So what was the good news? The first thing he ever said, you'll read in Scripture, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the gospel, the good news. And so therefore, repent and believe in that gospel, the good news. The kingdom that the Jews were awaiting is here in terms of Jesus Christ being the suffering servant. And especially look at chapter 52 and 53 of Isaiah. That spells it out, who the Messiah is, right? That he's also, he's supposed to be a suffering Messiah. And so Peter, in Acts chapter 2, he's echoing what Jesus said when he started his ministry, repent and be baptized, every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. And why else? Well, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it goes on that the Lord our God will call whoever he wants. So that means us. So even though we're not Jewish, that we Gentiles are also called into this. And so here is the verse that I want also to take home for you to take home is Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 to 29. It says that. Since we're almost out of time here, it says, for all those who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave or free person. There is not male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs to the promise. What promise? The promise given to Abraham. And so this is what we are. We're now children of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I'm out of time here. I hope you enjoyed this program with me, Dr. Anton, on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered here, talking about unsung heroes on Good Shepherd Sunday. So enjoy the rest of your evening, and God bless you. Again, this is Dr. Anton Raimondo signing off on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. God bless you all.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.